Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is late night, right here at Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning this evening. As always, the number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And a big screw you goes out to the Boston Celtics after this weekend. Look, I don't mean to make it all about me, but, you know, not for nothing. On Thursday, we had the wake for my father. On Friday, we buried my father. And you couldn't have given me one out of two against L.A. You had to lose both of these games in the type of fashion that you did just to take my heartache that was already at a 10.0. 10 out of 10, that's where I was, if not worse, right? But then following the wake on Thursday, we go and we watch the Celtics-Laker game, and you do that to me. But, you know, it's a cute story at the end. Rondo hits the shot. He says some nice things about Danny Ainge. I could live with it. It was horrible, but I could live with it. But then Doc Rivers comes to town with his Clippers that are going nowhere. Six new players on that roster. Doc is doing exactly what he said he never wanted to do, and that is coach a rebuilding team. And they come into the Garden, and they erase a 28-point lead. A 28-point Celtic lead erased. Erased by a team that doesn't even know each other yet. And this is the problem that I've got with this Celtics team. There's a litany of issues that we will work through tonight. There's a litany of issues that I think need to be addressed here tonight. But there's a blame game that needs to take place here too, because what you've got now is you've got a situation where, yeah, I still hold out hope for this season. I really do. But we need to make sure as Celtics fans that the blame is headed in the right direction, because this is going to be an absolutely pivotal offseason for this team. It looks like there's going to be even more critical decisions that will need to be made here than we thought that there were going to be in the first place. We knew that this team was going to have major decisions to make when it comes to, do you trade them all for Anthony Davis, right? We knew that this team was going to have major decisions to make when it comes to convincing Kyrie Irving to stick around. But there's going to be a lot more decisions that have to come into play now based on what we're seeing and hearing out of this season. Now, the good news is this. The Celtics, despite it all, if you listen to everything that you've seen on TV, heard on the radio, you would think that the Celtics were struggling to be a 500 team. They are not. That is fake news. That is a false narrative. This team on talent alone is still, what, 14 games over 500. But that doesn't mean that this team is achieving the goals that they set out to achieve this year. That doesn't mean that this team has managed to find an identity yet. And that, to me, comes down to coaching. So tonight we're going to talk about a few different things here with your Boston Celtics. As I hope at the end of this thing, whenever we wrap up this conversation tonight, that we all leave here with a better understanding as to what the hell is wrong with this Celtics team. And maybe we can reset our own expectations. Maybe we can reset, you know, what we expect out of this team. Therefore, we're not consistently and constantly disappointed. Because I feel like the one thing that I love is doing radio, right? I've been doing it forever, and I love it more than anything else in the world. One of the things that I love so much about radio is generally every night you come in here and there's something different to talk about. The Celtics have even managed to take that joy away from me this year, because I feel like we've had the same show a couple of dozen times this year. A team that has yet to find an identity. A team that has yet to establish their rotations. A team that has struggled with their head coach. A team that, quite frankly, doesn't like each other all that much. There's a lot of issues on this basketball team. And the most disheartening of all is that this basketball team has now been together since October. And still, here we are in mid-February, and they still don't know each other's roles yet. They don't know what's expected of them. They don't know what is expected of them on a night-in and night-out basis when they arrive to the arena. And that is simply inexcusable for a team that had their heart set and their mindset on competing for a championship this year. You find me one quote-unquote or even pseudo-type championship team. You find me one in the history of professional sports where they're 70 or 80% of the way through the season. And that team that eventually goes on to win the championship still has no idea what their identity is. That's a problem here, especially in the NBA. Especially in the NBA, because it's such a superstar-driven league. And the question that I've got for Celtics fans tonight, because it's one that we need to be really honest with ourselves. We need to be very honest with ourselves as Celtics fans, because there's going to be a critical decision that Danny Ainge makes come July 1st, and it has nothing to do with Anthony Davis, okay? It has everything to do with the current superstar in your team. And the question really is Kyrie Irving worth it? Is he worth all this? Is he worth the headaches? Is he worth the drama? Is he worth the mini LeBron James act? Because the more that Kyrie is here, the longer that he's here, that's sort of the feeling that I'm getting from him, is that this is what it would be like rooting for LeBron James on your team, except LeBron's better. At least LeBron, you know, makes up for some of it with the fact that he's such a singular talent that he can single-handedly take a 25-win team and drag them to the NBA Finals all by himself. Kyrie can't do that. He is an elite player. He's a top 10 player. He's, quite frankly, the best player the Celtics have had since Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, right? And he may wind up being better than those guys. Who knows? He's only in his mid-20s. But, man, is he a headache. And is he kind of a bitch? Like, I hate to put it out there just like that, but it just, to me, it seems like every one of these issues, he is front and center. Like, he is part of the problem here, not part of the solution. And that's so disheartening for me, because he's so incredibly talented. But maybe he doesn't have any leadership qualities or skills whatsoever. You know, there is a weight that has been sort of dragging this basketball team down all season long. And it's been tough to pinpoint exactly where that weight is and what that weight is. Because if you compare and contrast this team to the style of play in which we saw at the end of last year and into the playoffs, they were an exact opposite of what this team is. That team played free. They played loose. They played like they were having fun, like they wanted it more. Now, here's the thing. A team like that can win you 55 games and can get you to a conference final. We saw it 2 years ago with the Al Horford, Isaiah Thomas team that Danny Ainge eventually blew up. 11 players from a conference finals team gone. Then we saw it again last year with no Gordon Hayward, no Kyrie Irving. This team gets within 5 minutes of going to the NBA Finals. But what does it mean? I mean, if you don't have that singular type talent, if you don't have that elite player or those elite players, eventually you're doomed. Eventually you are going to come up short in those situations. So is it up to Danny Ainge to make sure that he's got the right pieces to the puzzle here? You know, it's one thing to throw talent at a roster. And Danny Ainge has certainly done that. He has thrown a tremendous amount of talent at this roster. But it's another thing entirely to throw the right talent onto the roster. And as we've sat here and we started to pinpoint blame, and Brad Stevens, he has certainly taken some of that, and it's been refreshing to hear, by the way, that I'm not the only one going after Brad Stevens these days, you know, because he has to be held accountable too. You know, boy wonder, you know, I know that he looks like he's 12 out there half the time, but boy wonder has to look, has to be held accountable. He does. He can't just sit, stand there with his, you know, arms folded and watch the Lakers go on a 12-0 run to get back into the game right before halftime and not call a timeout and think that that's coaching basketball. I think that he is completely, completely overwhelmed with the issues that have been hurting this basketball team all season long. And I think that he is literally pulling his hair out right now because he's tried pushing so many buttons and none of them have really worked just yet. So now you're the Boston Celtics. You have 26 games remaining in the season. And the narrative now is that maybe this year is done. Maybe this year is simply for naught, and this team, however they wind up losing, they lose, and it's time to tear it down and start all over again. And I don't want to think like that. I want to think like there's got to be a solution here this year where you don't waste the year, because there is no guarantee that a guy like Kyrie Irving is going to be back here next year, and love him or hate him, and whether you think he's worth the headache or not, he is the type of guy that can single-handedly help win you a series. He can't single-handedly drag a 20-win team to the finals, but he can single-handedly win you a series like he did for the Cavaliers back in 2016, right? And there's no guarantee he's going to be here next year, and there's no guarantee that this team is going to look anything like it does this year. But last year, Jason Tatum had fun. Last year, Marcus Smart had fun. Last year, Marcus Morris had fun. Last year, Jaylen Brown had fun. Last year, Terry Rozier had fun. They all seem to play for one another. They seem to legitimately enjoy each other's company and enjoyed playing hard for one another. They enjoyed that sort of challenge. This year, if you listen to Marcus Morris, he's another guy, by the way. I know he's played great, and there's always this disclaimer because people are afraid to trash Marcus Morris, and I don't know why. Like, yes, he's played very well this year. Not quite as well as people like to think he has, because he came out like a house of fire the first 6-8 weeks of the season. Since then, his numbers have fallen off a bit. He's a bit more pedestrian. But he's been very, very good this year. But when you look at the Celtics' issues this year, you go back about a month ago when they were in Florida. I believe it was either in Miami or Orlando. It was one of those two games on that road trip that weekend where he got into the shoving match on the bench. All right, so you have that. And now you have Marcus Morris after the Clipper game. He's the one that talks to the media. He's the one that's telling the media that there's problems here, that this team isn't having fun, that this team doesn't like each other, that this team's got issues, yada, yada, yada. Maybe Marcus Morris is part of the problem. Maybe Marcus Morris needs to be sat down for a while. Maybe Marcus Morris can be identified right now by Brad Stevens and say, you know what? He doesn't really fit anything that we're doing here. He's here on a lame duck contract. He's not one of the younger players, so we're not using him as to build for the future. And he's not really one of the core players that we're going to re-sign here to build this team around in the future. So he's really a man without a long-term role here. And I wonder if that's part of his issue. I wonder if that is part of why, you know, this isn't as much fun for him as it may have been in years past. Because he knows that whatever he does this year for the Boston Celtics, he's not helping this team really put any building blocks together. He's not going to be here for the long term. He is the definition of a hired gun for a team that, quite frankly, doesn't need a hired gun right now. What this team needs is some team unity, a little Ubuntu. This team needs a coach that's been there before. This team needs Danny Ainge to step up in the offseason and do a better job at acquiring the right type of talent here. Because when you get to this stage in the game, I think that one of the issues that this Celtics team's got is we sort of looked at this thing going into this year, and we said, well, this is going to be a unique thing because you've got the young up-and-coming stars. So you have the all-stars of tomorrow. You've got Jaylen Brown. You've got Jason Tatum to a lesser extent. You've got Terry Rozier. You've got Marcus Smart, okay, the stars of tomorrow. But you've also got your three-headed monster, your big three of today in Gordon Hayward and Al Horford and in Kyrie Irving. And you're going to mesh these two things together, and you're going to have one of the best and deepest teams in the NBA. But instead, what you're having, you have no bridge between the two. So instead, what you've got is you've got a big three where one guy's getting old in Al Horford, one guy's injured in Gordon Hayward. And I'm sorry, but Kyrie Irving, for as well as he's played this year, and he has played spectacular basketball, his attitude sucks. He's just this big enigma, and he enjoys the distraction. I'm telling you right now, in watching him in recent weeks, he loves to be the center of attention. He's the guy that will bitch about the media having a microphone in his face, but he'll do something to make sure that the media continues to put a microphone in his face. So he wants the attention. He's one of these, he's almost like a tween girl, where they don't want to be the cause of the drama, but they're always involved in the drama. And that's sort of what I think of when I think of Kyrie Irving lately. Wherever there's drama, Kyrie Irving is not too far behind. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. So Celtics fans, a couple of questions for you guys tonight. Is Kyrie Irving worth it? Because, again, he's going into his free agent year. The Celtics are probably going to throw that 5-year max deal at him. Is he somebody that you consider a building block here for the future? Can you live with the entire package that is Kyrie Irving? Or has some of his antics this year, some of the stuff that sort of followed him around, does that give you a little bit of pause when it comes to just how sure you are that Kyrie Irving is one of the building blocks that you want here for the foreseeable future? Talking about that and also talking about sort of the blame game here. Because I listened to Glenn earlier today, and, you know, Glenn and Lou, they really put it hard on Brad Stevens. And yes, I think Brad deserves a certain amount of the blame here. I certainly do. But they gave Brad all the blame, and they sort of took Danny Ainge and they said, none of it's his. He doesn't have to accept any of the blame here. And that, to me, that doesn't sit well. Because I know that Danny gets a pass around here for whatever reason. I'm not sure. He's got one championship in 18, 19 years. but he gets a pass. He's been masterful when it comes to fleecing other teams and trading for players, trading for assets, and really, you know, the building blocks of this team. I don't think anybody could have done it better than Danny Ainge. All that being said, Danny's also a former player. Danny's also a former coach. Danny's also been in this general manager's role for the better part of two decades. You would think that with all of his experience in the NBA, he would be able to sort of tell when a team's chemistry isn't right or when a team's chemistry isn't going to be right. And the fact that Danny Ainge didn't pick up on the fact that this team might have some chemistry issues based on the players and personnel that he put on this roster, that's a little troubling to me as well. Because this happens in all sports. There are teams that just don't like each other. There are teams that have got chemistry issues. But if you're the guy that brings in that talent, if you're the guy that brings in those issues because you signed those players or you traded for those players, then how the hell do we look at that person that brought in all those players and say, you don't accept any of the blame here? It's all his fault. That doesn't make any sense to me, and that's another thing that I think could really make this Celtics organization, you know, sort of not like each other. Right now, there's a lot of infighting. There's a bit of a civil war taking place right now over there at the Garden. There really is. You got Danny Ainge over there acquiring talent, acquiring players, and, oh, it's all Brad Stevens' responsibility. So, in other words, if the Celtics go and win a championship this year, let's not give Danny any of the credit. It belongs 100% to Brad Stevens. See, that doesn't fly for me, okay? Danny brought in all these players. And Danny's got to live with the fact that this team is not gelled. This team has not played for one another. This team does not genuinely like each other. And this team has got too many conflicts of interest right now to be able to put everything to the side and just play basketball the right way. And to me, that's really what I have to say when it comes to what I'm watching here night in and night out. I'm watching a team that's got too many conflicts of interest. Some guys are out there playing for themselves. Some guys are out there playing to impress other teams because they know their future here in Boston is short-lived. Other guys are out there, you know, trying to continue to play for the Celtics because they believe that their future is here in Boston. All right, meanwhile, you got Al Horford out there. You know, he's going to pick up his $30 million player option for next year. It's clear that he's taken a step back. And it's clear that Gordon Hayward, he's not close to being 100% yet. So Gordon's got to be concerned about getting himself healthy and right while he's out there playing. So how can Gordon do what's best for the Boston Celtics when he's challenged to go out there and just sort of look like a contributing player? You know what I mean? So everybody's got a conflict of interest, and there isn't one unifying goal. They can all talk about this unifying goal of wanting to win the East or unifying goal of wanting to win a championship, but they don't play like it. They're all out there playing like they're trying to achieve their own individual goals, and if they happen to stumble across winning a couple of games along the way, well, then so be it. But watch the best teams across this NBA. Watch them. All right, whether you like their attitudes or not, whether you think they're prima donnas or not, the teams that contend to win championships, they do. They play for one another, they play for each other, and they play with a common goal in mind. This Celtics team does not play for one another, they do not play for each other, and they play like 15 men with 15 different goals. And that problem goes much deeper than just the head coach. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night Room for you when we come back at 617-779-7937.
If Kyrie Irving is a supremely talented player,
yeah, he is.
We'll say one of the top 10 players in the NBA.
I think so.
Because he's in the starting lineup of the NBA All-Star game.
But even without that, that's a popularity contest. But even
fine.
Still,
he's a top 10 player in the NBA.
Yeah.
But if he causes issues, if there are problems around him, if he can't get along with his teammates, if his teammates don't like putting up with him, guys rolling their eyes about things that he says,
right.
Then at some point you have to say, I don't care how talented he is, he doesn't fit here.
Well, see, so you want to get rid of him?
Well, you can't now. You don't have any choice.
But next year he may just leave. Like, so you'd be happy getting rid of him?
I'm wondering if you're going to be better off without him than you are with him.
I don't think so at all.
Well, let me ask you this. Were they better off without him last year than they are with him this year?
No.
Yes, they were.
No, not at all. The Eastern Conference was much worse last year.
But you're...
And you had no chance.
The standard eye test here is, which team did you like better watching play?
Did I
last
like
year's
better?
Team, which team did you think was better? Year's team or this year?
This team.
Oh, I don't.
This team has more talent. It's all about talent.
I don't care about talent.
You should
which
care about talent. The NBA.
Which team plays better?
This team has a better chance. Not even. This team definitely has a better chance. That team had zero chance of winning a title last year. Zero.
Well, this team has zero chance. They might not make the playoffs, for God's sake.
Oh, there he is. Drama Queen Dale, right there. They might not even make the playoffs. I mean, really, Dale? They're not going to make the playoffs? See, this is where the conversation just gets silly to me. This is where people that don't follow the league don't really have a clue. So when I listened to that conversation and I listened to it earlier live, you know, I was over there, I was rooting on Rich because he's right. So for all the issues the Celtics have had this year, and they have had a lot of issues, he's right. Because they've got a singular talent like a Kyrie Irving, they at least have a stone's throw chance at, you know, competing for a championship this year. They do. It doesn't seem like it today. It doesn't seem like that this team will put themselves in the championship conversation today. But let's say hypothetically that before the end of April, Gordon Hayward's back to 85% of what he was with the Jazz, and Kyrie Irving's been able to keep his mouth shut and just play basketball as well as he can, because we know this year when he's played exceptionally well. This year's team, despite the fact that they're not as much fun as last year's team was, this year's team, despite the fact that they're not as likable as last year's team was, certainly has a much higher percentage chance at reaching the NBA Finals and potentially winning a championship. And when I say a much higher chance, I'm saying a 5% chance. But that's 5% higher than last year's team. This team is in no danger of missing the playoffs. For all the wrong that they've done, and it's been a lot of wrong, they're 14 games over 500. They're not in danger of missing the playoffs. They are in danger of alienating the fans. And that's something that I didn't think was going to be possible here this year. You go back to last year's team that Dale was talking about and the eye test. Here's where Dale made a good point. Last year's team was more fun to watch, and the ratings backed it up. Casual fans right now, this time last year, could not get enough of the Boston Celtics. That is a simple fact. Go look at NBC Sports ratings last year. They were up 44% over the year before. All right, and that was because, quite frankly, the Patriots were done, and right now this is the opportunity for both winter teams, one of them, to grab your attention. And the Celtics right now, yeah, they certainly have your attention, but they've got it for all the wrong reasons. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's get out to these calls. Let's go to Gary. Gary's in Rhode Island. Gary, you're first up here on WEI.
Yeah, a couple of things.
Yeah.
I think Brad Stevens is... coaches better underperforming players, like Bayless, for instance. He's a lot better player when he's in a lineup. They're a lot better team than when he's in a lineup. And under-retrieving players, he coaches better. He takes people out of the flow of the game a lot because he has a system with stars that they got to play. You know, their minutes.
Well, yes and no. So that's part of the problem that I've got with them, Gary, is that, you know, yeah, they got to play their minutes, but nobody, even the stars, they don't even have a defined role in this team. So if you're going to try and win a championship, you would like to think that your 9 or 10 key rotational players, for the most part, have an idea what their job is going to be when they show up to the gym on any given night. But this year's Celtics team, they don't have a clue.
Yeah, and Kyrie, even though he's my favorite player, and oh my God, one-on-one player, probably one of the best in the league, I would have gotten rid of him in a heartbeat because he's not going to sign here, and he's hurting the team. I agree, he's hurting the team, and I was one of them hoping that they were going to get rid of him and get something for him.
Yeah, that was, you know? I get it, and that was going to be a problem, Gary, because put it this way, if you traded him, he's on a lame duck contract. Nobody's going to give you much of anything for him. So the Celtics, you know, they probably thought to themselves, okay, well, if he's not going to commit here, what's better for the Celtics organization? Is it to go to the NBA Finals and, you know, have a prolonged run through the playoffs and into the NBA Finals this year with Kyrie Irving? Or is it to trade him for 50 cents on the dollar and bring in some sort of an asset for him? And ultimately, they chose to try to put this thing together and have a prolonged playoff run, because ultimately, that could fix just about everything here. You know, all the negative talk that surrounded this team, all the BS that has surrounded this team, you can put an end to that real quick with an exciting run through the playoffs. But really, the question is the same question I posed to start the program, and that is Kyrie worth all of this? Is he worth it? Because to me, he is a huge part of the reason why this team isn't playing as unified as they did last year. He's a big part of the reason why this team is experiencing all the infighting that they've experienced this year, because he's not an easy guy to get along with. I mean, we listen to him, right? And we listen to this guy that tries to sound like the smartest guy in the room at all times. We listen to this guy talk about basketball like it's some sort of a science project, but it's not. And oftentimes he uses the wrong big words in the wrong places, and he just doesn't sound nearly as intelligent as he thinks he does. But that's fine. It's who he's always been, and he wants to come off as this cerebral deep thinker. And I think he got that from LeBron James, where LeBron would always make it look like he was reading a big, thick book. But really, he wasn't reading a thing. And for whatever reason, you know, this guy in Kyrie Irving reminds me a lot of some of LeBron's, my least favorite traits and qualities about LeBron James. I feel like Kyrie has brought some of those over here with him. And when you look at the issues that were plaguing the Lakers the other night, right, you had a half a dozen Lakers in that Pacer game, the game they played just before they got to Boston. You had a half a dozen different Lakers sitting on the bench. And then you had five empty bench seats before you had LeBron. Those young players can't stand LeBron right now because they know that LeBron was trying to trade their asses out of town. And you saw it here in Boston. And that was so heartbreaking about that Laker loss. That Laker team was ready to roll over and die. That Laker team had just lost by 42, and the Celtics came out and opened up an 18-point lead. They looked lethargic. They looked lifeless. LeBron looked disinterested. That team was ready to roll over and die. And the Celtics allowed them to get back in. The Celtics decided, you know what? We're too good. We don't have to play great defense. We don't have to lock ourselves in. We can just roll the balls out there, and we're going to win games on our talent and talent alone. And to me, that is a trait, that is an unfortunate quality of the Kyrie Irving problem that you have here, okay? Because to me, that defines Kyrie Irving. Kyrie thinks that all he has to do is roll the ball out because he's such an elite one-on-one player. All you got to do is roll the ball out, and he's going to win more often than not. But unfortunately, that isn't going to be the case here, not with the Celtics, not in this Eastern Conference that no longer has LeBron James in it. Now the top four or five teams at the top of the East, they're much improved over what they were in recent years. So now this Celtics team, you've got to put in the same effort that you put in years past. But Kyrie doesn't strike me as that type of player. Hell, just look at Kyrie Irving over the last month and look at the games that he's missed. It seems like when the Celtics are playing a quote-unquote lesser opponent, those are the nights where Kyrie Irving is taking games off. And if the Celtics' chemistry was good, and if the Celtics were a unified front, and if the Celtics weren't dealing with all of these issues, I would have no problem with Kyrie Irving taking off these games. That way he's right for the playoffs physically. But this Celtics team is running out of time here to get right as a team. So normally, with 26 games left, if the Celtics are playing a game where, for whatever reason, Kyrie needs a rest, give it to him. But now, can you afford to continue to give this guy rest when this team doesn't even have a sort of a unified front yet, when they don't have clear-cut and defined roles yet? Or are we just going to continue to play like this, Brad Stevens? Is this just going to be the Boston Celtics for the remainder of the season? Just tell us now. Tell the fans now so we know what to expect, because right now, I'm telling you, this team is broken. This team is broken, and Kyrie Irving is one of the reasons why. And I hate to put yourself in a position, if you're the Celtics, where you finally acquire that transformative star and then to say to yourself, you know what, not good enough for us. But there's something to the point here where the Celtics were, I don't know, they played much more like a team without Kyrie Irving on the floor. And today on that Undisputed show with Skip? So one of the guys, I think it was Greg Jennings, he said on the show that the biggest problem with the Celtics is Kyrie Irving. He said, as electrifying and as exciting and stellar as he is on the court, he takes away from what everybody else does. He doesn't compliment everybody. He doesn't compliment anybody. And that's a point that I'm trying to make here, is that, yes, Kyrie Irving is a singular talent like no other in the league. He's that good. But is he capable of complementing the skill players that the Celtics have right now? And ultimately, what is more important to winning a championship? Is it maximizing all of your players or minimizing their impact on the court, but maximizing what you get from Kyrie Irving? That's a question that only Brad Stevens can really answer. It is Sports Radio, WEEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn's in Natick. Glenn, you're next up here on WEEI.
All right, hey, Patrick.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah, regarding Ainge, I get what you're saying, and he does bear some responsibility. But, and you know the Celtics much better than I do, but what would you have done, as he started to recognize, I'm sure he's recognized some issues with the team, maybe even early on the first 20 games, but what would you have done to try to correct that? Because I just don't see where they would have made a trade that would have worked, because, you know, you can't really trade Hayward. If you trade Rozier and then Irving leaves, you know, you don't have that guy to step in for Irving if he leaves at the end of the year. And I'm just trying to figure out what you would have done to try to correct this issue that they're having.
I mean, I know technically they play different positions, but when you look at Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, Gordon Hayward, they're all redundant. You know what I mean? So they're all essentially, you know, three men. Sometimes they'll play four, but they're all essentially swing players. They're all between 6'6 and 6'8. They're just redundant, and you don't need them all on the roster. And what's happening is because you've got four guys on the roster that can play the same position, you're not really maximizing the potential of any of them. So you're getting a little something out of all four rather than getting the most you could get out of, say, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. That's all.
No, that makes sense. It's unfortunate because I think what's really happened is Hayward's injury last year. I think everyone, including myself, thought he'd back right in this year and at least be close to what he was. And because he hasn't been, I think that's had a ripple effect across the team because, you know, you want to get him back to where he was. They're playing him maybe more than they should. But then on the other hand, it's like you said, they're redundant at this position, and it's not allowing Jaylen Brown to grow. And then, of course, Marcus Morris has emerged this year. So they're sort of stuck in this, middle ground here. And the other part, Irving is, like, you just summed it up perfectly. The guy's an incredible talent, but, God, what a piss-poor leader. I'm sorry, but, you know, I don't mind that he called LeBron and asked him for his advice and maybe even apologized for his behavior when he was with Cleveland. But to sit there and then tell everyone in the media that he did it, and not only that, basically imply that the guys that he's dealing with now are knuckleheads. He is not as smart as he tries to come across.
No, he's not. Not even close. But he thinks he is, though. You know, Glenn? He thinks he's so smart, and I think that annoys a lot of his teammates.
Well, yeah, and you made a great point about how some other teams are playing unified basketball, but then I started wondering, like, who are the really good leaders in the NBA right now? Because I don't, you know, and I'm old school. I grew up with Bird and Magic and Jordan, and those guys, in my opinion, and then they have their flaws, but they were great leaders. Who in basketball now, you know, Kevin Durant, he's not a great leader. I mean, who are the great leaders on any of these teams? I don't see it, really. You know, they're all a bunch of guys who are all looking to maximize their own value and whatnot, which I don't blame them for, but I wonder if, you know, remember Cuban said a couple of years ago about the NFL, they're going to, you know, pigs turn to slaughter or something like that.
Yep.
I wonder if he and other owners are wondering about the NBA, that they're sort of creating this monster where maybe they're going to hit the wall at some point. You know, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, look, you know, it's a good point, but it's why I don't think that we're there yet, because if you watch the rest of the league, I mean, the league is thriving right now. This is a Celtics problem. This is really a Celtics problem. Look no further than the Eastern Conference. When's the last time we saw teams like the Milwaukee Bucks play as well as they're playing? Even the Pacers, after they lost their best player, they reeled off four consecutive wins. The top of the Eastern Conference right now is as good as I've seen in the last 20 years because it's spread out a little bit. Toronto, I love the moves that they've made. Toronto's been one of the top two teams in the Eastern Conference going neck and neck all season long with Milwaukee. So what do? They go and they get Marc Gasol, and now tonight they're picking up Jeremy Lin. Now, neither one of these guys are the players that they used to be. Marc Gasol used to be a perennial all-star, one of the most skilled big men in the NBA. He's 35 years old. He's not nearly the guy that he used to be, but he is, as a complimentary piece, as a nice player, as somebody that gives that Toronto team one of the most talented passing big men in the NBA right now, still somebody who can block some shots, rebound the basketball, hit a three. That is a significant upgrade for that Raptors team. And then to bring a Jeremy Lin off the bench who can still score. He's still capable of giving a team 18 points on a random playoff game. You know, they upgraded their team despite the fact that they've been great all season long. The Celtics, they opted not to upgrade their team because I know what Danny was thinking. Danny was thinking, look, you know, we can make a roster move and bring in somebody throughout the buyout market. And ultimately, I think they will because they do have that open roster spot now. There's a reason why Danny Ainge created that roster spot when he did. Clearly, he's got somebody on his mind. There's a target here for the Celtics at some point to go out there and get that 15th player. But that 15th player isn't going to be the guy that comes in here and suddenly galvanizes this group and gets this group playing like the team that we thought they could play like. You know, this team, Kyrie Irving said it himself 3 weeks into the season. He said, we could use a 15-year veteran, somebody to come in here and sort of be a leader in that locker room. So as badly as we want Kyrie Irving to be the leader here, and as badly as Kyrie Irving probably would like to be the leader here now because he knows that this team needs one, he's simply not capable. He doesn't have the skill set to be the leader of this basketball team. And it's a shame because for somebody who's as skilled as he is – a perennial all-star who's just loved around the NBA by his peers, that's the guy that you want to lead your team. Unfortunately for Kyrie and unfortunately for the Celtics, the guy doesn't have a clue on what it takes to be a leader. It is Sports Radio WEI. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. It is late night, right here, Sports Radio WEI. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And to the texter, and anytime you want me to read a text, always a good idea to start off with, you're an idiot, because it's going to get my attention, okay? So, you're an idiot. You expect Irving's teammates to want to play with him when he won't commit to staying with the Celtics, and Ainge said that everyone is expendable, I feel, for Stevens. Well, boo-hoo for Brad Stevens. Listen, I'm the idiot. So what happened in October? You tell me, okay, what happened in October. At that point in October, didn't Kyrie Irving stand up in front of the Garden faithful? Didn't he get up and didn't he say that he was going to re-sign here? If the Celtics fans will have him, he planned on re-signing here. And it wasn't until about 3 weeks ago that the suggestion came up that he may not re-sign here. It was following his conversation with LeBron, then all the questions when the Celtics were in New York. So you mean to tell me the first 2 months of the season, including in the immediate aftermath of Kyrie Irving declaring his love for the Boston Celtics, saying he will re-sign here, what happened? The Celtics started the season 10-10. So nice try here, okay? Nice try. It's not about the players and whether they're going to be here long-term or not. I mean, really? When you go back through the history of the NBA, you mean to tell me that teams that had good players in contract years because they weren't guaranteed to come back the next year, those teams couldn't fight to win a championship? Those teams couldn't play well? See, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I get the point when it comes to Kyrie and how his sort of being on shaky ground with his future here can maybe affect this team a little bit, but it shouldn't affect this team at all. It really shouldn't. I think that what affects this team, unfortunately, is Brad Stevens. Right now, Brad Stevens lets Kyrie be Kyrie. He's letting Kyrie sort of rule the roost here, and there's a fine line that all of these coaches have to sort of go on and walk with all these star players. And a guy like Doc Rivers, he's had a lot of experience in doing it, so I think that Doc is a better coach for this type of team than a Brad Stevens. Although Brad Stevens was a masterful coach the last 4 years, now you've got like a headache. You've got Kyrie Irving, who's a legitimate headache. And managing that headache and getting the best and the most out of that headache on a game-in and game-out basis is a skill unto itself that Brad hasn't had an opportunity to sort of learn yet, and he will. He is learning it on the fly. And I know that Brad, you know, he's got these youthful good looks, but by the end of this season, I promise you, he is going to start looking his age, because this team is killing all of us slowly. All of us Celtics fans have aged exponentially this year, following this basketball team, waiting for sort of the light to turn on and this team to click. But as we get further and further into the season with just 26 games remaining, I'm becoming more and more convinced that what you see is what you get. In other words, yes, this team just lost two very heartbreaking games at home. Inexcusable. But they're just as likely to go, you know, win seven straight. We've seen it happen time and time again this year. But they'll never put themselves in a position where they're a consistent product, because they're a team that's got too many flaws, and a lot of those flaws, unfortunately, have less to do with the players and the player personnel than they do with the roles that the coach has put in and applied to these players. It's unfortunate, because Brad was supposed to be this team's, or one of this team's, biggest strengths, but this year he has been one of their weaknesses, and the Celtics will have to do something to address that in the offseason. And whether that's a complete change in player and player personnel, or whether that's getting Brad some sort of help on the bench with a veteran assistant coach, somebody who's been there before, somebody who knows how to manage these personalities better. What the Celtics cannot do is roll into next season with a similar sort of group of players and not do anything to change the dynamic here. Because right now, what Marcus Morris said is absolutely true. There's a reason why we've all said all season long that this team is not fun to watch. They're not fun to watch because they're not having fun. It's as simple as that. It is Sports Radio WEI. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Darren. Darren's in Connecticut. Darren, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, how are you doing? A lot of things that you said were true. I don't think it's Brad Stevens. How do you sit an all-star down? He's going to get an attitude and sit down, and it's going to go right through the team. I don't understand why he isn't including the team in when he plays. I don't think he's mature enough. I don't get what bringing Anthony Davis. Both these guys want to leave a team. They're not committed to playing, being team players and bring the other players up to their level. I mean, they're trying to choose their own team and become winners. If you don't, if it's a team game, if you don't bring up the other players to play at your level and give them confidence, how are you going to be winners? I watched the Yankees buy all-stars for years that never played for as a team, and they never won anything. So I think Brad Stevens is stuck between a heart and a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, he is. He is stuck, you know, because he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't.
You know, when's Kyrie going to grow up, or does he want to leave? Just move on. And bringing Anthony Davis in isn't going to do anything because they're going to be competing against each other if you don't bring other players up.
Here's what scares me about the Anthony Davis thing, Darren. I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff. What scares me a little bit, and if I'm the Celtics, that's still my plan A. It's got to be because, again, it's the NBA, and in this league, talent generally wins out. And the team with the most talent generally wins. And if you have the opportunity to combine and pair those two guys, that puts you in very, very slim company as far as the most talented teams in the NBA. That's just a fact. But what does scare me a little bit and what does give me a little bit of pause when it comes to bringing in an Anthony Davis and pairing him with Kyrie is that Anthony Davis, for all of his talent, he's only been to the playoffs twice, only won a round one time. And you would think to yourself, well, if he really is this dominant player, this uniquely skilled player, then shouldn't he be one of these players that's capable of taking a 25-win team and turning them into a 50-win team and turning them into a perennial playoff threat? Because that's exactly what a guy like LeBron James would do. That is exactly what a guy like Kevin Durant would do. If you put Kevin Durant right now on a 25-win team, they're a 50-55-win team tomorrow, and they compete in the playoffs. I'm not saying they win a championship, but they compete in the playoffs, and they win 50-plus games. All right, you put LeBron on a 25-win team, they win 55 games, and they're probably getting to a conference final at a minimum. You put Anthony Davis on a 25-win team, I'm not sure exactly how much better that team gets. And same thing with Kyrie Irving. I mean, Kyrie Irving has not made this Celtics team better in the regular season than they were last year. That's a fact. Now, we'll see what happens in the playoffs, because this is exactly what the Celtics missed with 5 minutes to go in Game 7 last year. They didn't have that singular talent, the guy capable of keeping the Celtics in that game, the guy capable of putting the offense on his back and really creating for himself. So the Celtics were shooting threes, Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, jacking threes instead of having the ball in a Kyrie's hands, slowing it down with 5 minutes to go. That's really where the value of a Kyrie Irving comes into play. But is it worth it? Is it worth having Kyrie there for those final 5 minutes if you've got to go through this all year long? And as this Celtics team prepares to potentially, you know, make Kyrie one of the richest players in the NBA and extend to him a 5-year max deal, you have to ask yourself, if you're Danny Ainge, you know, are you capable of building a team around Kyrie Irving with a group of guys that is mature enough and able to play with a guy like Kyrie Irving? Because playing with Kyrie, for as great as he is and as talented as he is, you need to be a special type of person and player to not let all this noise get to your head. And unfortunately, with this Celtics team, because they are so full of youth, these guys, it's the first time for them as well. You know, these guys not only had to deal with a change in role this year. I mean, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, huge change in their role this year. But they've also got to deal with the fact that, you know, Kyrie Irving is over there dictating the tone of the locker room. He is. When Kyrie's in a bad mood, everybody's in a bad mood. It trickles down from top to the bottom. When Kyrie's having fun, everybody's having fun. But I'll tell you what, it isn't a lot of fun for these guys to go out there knowing that they were good enough to win as many games as they won last year, knowing they were good enough to compete and make it to a game 7 of the conference finals last year, knowing all that, and now they've got to go out there and more often than not, just watch Kyrie Irving go do his thing. Watch Kyrie Irving go put on a show, like an and-one mixtape tour at the Garden. Like, that's not what they signed up for either. So there's a fine line between, you know, Kyrie Irving, the elite player, Kyrie Irving, the transformative talent, and Kyrie Irving, the guy that pisses off his teammates, Kyrie Irving, the guy that alienates his teammates, and Kyrie Irving, ultimately, is going to need those teammates. It is Sports Radio, WEI, 1 hour down, 3 hours to go on a full 4 hours of late night tonight. Mike, Joe. I see you guys there. When we come back, I promise, we'll get some more of your phone calls talking Celtics to open the program. Who is the problem? Is it Brad Stevens? Is it Danny Ainge? Is it Kyrie Irving? And ultimately, fans, is Kyrie Irving worth the headache? We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Right here, Sports Radio, WEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.